Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, new father of Brutus. The films are Premature, Greed, and Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
You could make a novel out of those titles, Jill.
So easily. You know, it's just, I'm sorry, I'm distracted, but why don't you tell us about the films?
Well, I just have to jump in here to explain that you just described me as the father of Brutus, and in fact, I am not exactly his father. I don't want anybody to think that I have just had a new son or daughter and named him or her Brutus. Brutus is our new three-quarter French bulldog, one-quarter Shih Tzu, and he is sitting by my side right now, but he is in fact a dog. And he has, yes, just arrived into my life. But he has absolutely no appreciation for the finer things, such as movies.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm afraid he just sort of gazes into space and doesn't really take in the full picture.
Oh, give him a couple of weeks.
Well, fortunately, I am here to give him long lectures on the subject. Turning to this week's films, beginning with one called Premature. Yes. And Premature, it's a very, very independent movie, and it's a very, very nice movie. I wish it were a little bit more original, but it has really a whole lot going for it. It's directed and co-written by Rashad Ernesto Green, and it is a story of a couple of young African-Americans in New York City, in and around Harlem, and they meet and they fall in love. They're very young. He is a would-be musician who doesn't seem to be working awfully hard to make it in that world, but he apparently has some talent, some flair for doing music. And she is a high school student who is looking forward to going off to college very soon. And they meet and they fall in love, and they have various kinds of adventures that young people sometimes have in the movies and outside the movies. And then, wouldn't you know, and this is a bit of a spoiler, but when I say I wish the movie were a little bit more original, I sort of felt this was coming. She gets pregnant. And that, of course, upends a lot of their plans, and the movie wends its way to what I will call a sort of a bittersweet conclusion. The part of the movie I like best, and again, it's a very nice movie, very well acted, is the ending, which I found very interesting and a bit unusual. It's a really, really well-done portrait of young people. I will say it is a bit heavy on the sex scenes. I am not against sex, and I am not against sex scenes, but these ones do go on rather a bit, and they're exactly like all of the sex scenes that we've been seeing in movies for the past few decades. Again, not very original. But when the movie settles down to business and gets back down to the dramatic interactions among our main characters, and by the way, some of their friends too, this is a movie with a fairly large cast, and some of the secondary people are you know, just very interesting, beautifully acted, and engaging to look at. When the movie sort of gets down to its dramatic business, it really does build some emotional momentum. And again, at a time when minorities still get slighted in the big Hollywood productions, independent productions like this, movies that are smaller, that obviously are made on limited budgets without a lot of fancy stuff, are more and more valuable than ever, because this movie really does give very sympathetic and empathetic portrait of the kind of ordinary young minority people who are just not going to find their way into all that many of the big Hollywood productions. The movie's called Premature. The exact reason for that title is never given, which I also commend the movie for. It allows us to sort of put our own imaginations to work and decide what various meanings this might have in the context of the film. And I want to particularly single out Zora Howard, who plays the young woman, Ayanna, who is the main character of the film. And she also is the co-writer of the movie and is just a terrific talent. So again, I can't call Premature a great movie, but it's a very good movie, and it's a very valuable movie in that it really does get into kinds of life that the big Hollywood productions just are not giving me enough of. This will not be probably playing at multiplexes everywhere, but it is playing, and it is well worth seeking out. Our next movie, Greed, there's a title for you, has some somewhat bigger names associated with it, not huge, gigantic Hollywood names, but bigger names. It was directed and mostly written by Michael Winterbottom, who is one of these filmmakers who's he's very interesting because he makes every kind of film there is. He's not one of these directors or writers who has settled down into one genre. He's made drama, he's made comedy, he's made this, he's made that. All different kinds of stuff. If anything, he sort of tends to stray in the direction of comedy. But again, he's a very, very versatile director who doesn't seem to want to be typecast with any one particular kind of film. To my mind, his best film ever was made way back in 2002, 24-Hour Party People, which is a movie about the English music scene starring Steve Coogan. It was the first time Steve Coogan really made an impression on me. And now, in Greed, we have him working again with Steve Coogan. And by the way, they've worked together quite a lot. They made some movies with the word trip in the title, a movie called The Trip and The Trip to Italy, which I don't like those movies very much. They did not appeal to me very much. But they are Michael Winterbottom working with Steve Coogan, and now they have made Greed, which is really in its own hilarious way a very serious movie, because it is a deadly serious but pretty funny, I shouldn't have said hilarious, but pretty funny satire of the world of great, 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 big, big business. That is what this movie is about, and Greed is a very apt title. Once again, one always thinks of the great Oliver Stone movie Wall Street and that great slogan of its villain, greed is good. Here we have a guy, a main character, who exactly seems to believe that himself, and the movie is a very bitter satire of him. So, our main character, who is played by Steve Coogan, is a guy named Sir Richard McCreadle, and he is without question a very, very self-absorbed and greedy mogul, based, by the way, apparently on the real-life British fashion mogul Philip Green. Again, his name does not appear in the movie because this is a satire, but that's apparently the model for the main character. And the movie takes place largely around a birthday, a great big birthday party that he is about to have, and all of his friends and family and so forth are all coming to this island off of Greece. And they are going to have this gigantic party, and as befits a greedy mogul, there's going to be all kinds of special effects, shall we say, going on here. They're rebuilding a Roman-type Colosseum for this to take place in. There's going to be fireworks. They've got a lion there who is going to recreate a scene with an old Roman gladiator. That doesn't sound very humane, and yeah, our main character is not at all humane. He is the kind of guy who would have the idea of a gladiator being eaten up by a lion. By the way, the lion's name is Clarence, which I think is marvelous, that he would think that was just super-duper entertainment. So basically, that is what the movie is. And there are various flashbacks to how Sir Richard made his jillions. And it seems to have been, and this is the kind of thing that does seem to go on in real life an awful lot, including, by the way, with Donald Trump, a whole lot of really failed ventures that he nonetheless was able to come out of with enormous oodles of money just piling up around him. So other people are losing their shirts, losing their everything, and he's coming out of these failed ventures with jillions and jillions of dollars. And now he is this fabulously wealthy person, and he is able to indulge himself with things like this grotesque birthday party, and we are seeing the sort of outcome of all of this. Now, I will mention one of the interesting things about Greed, the movie, is that it is a satire, and it is full of comedy, but it also has some really serious stuff in it, including, by the way, some real violence near the end. I won't give any spoilers on that, but you have to be ready for this movie to turn really, really dark really, really soon and to have some really, really bloody stuff in it. But most of the way, yes, it is satire, it is funny. It also, by the way, reminded me and reminds me a very great deal of Succession. I've just finished watching the two so far existing seasons of Succession, which is a drama, but it goes so deeply into the world of the super, super rich and shows so deeply how they devour each other on a daily basis that it is really ultimately a comedy in itself. Greed is just a version of that that brings all the comedy to the fore and makes that the point of the whole thing. And I did find it pretty funny. In fact, I was surprised at how funny I found Greed. A lot of the humor is very, very silly, but it just made me laugh and giggle and chuckle a lot. So I found Greed a very good Michael Winterbottom film, a very funny movie to watch, and a movie with a message against greed, which I personally could not find myself resisting agreeing with very much. It's an anti-greed movie, and we can't have too many of those. Our final film today, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, actually started to emerge at the end of last year, and it has gotten some of the most overwhelmingly positive reviews of any movie in recent memory. A fabulously loved movie by critics. And I've seen it more than once already, and we showed it at the cinema club that I moderate at the historic Avalon Theater in Washington, D.C. And there, too, it was not unanimously favorable, but most of the people really, really liked it a lot. So I just want to point out that Portrait of a Lady on Fire is a movie which has fared very well with the critics, and which is faring very well with audiences, too. It's very much an art film. It is a French film, and it was written and directed by Céline Sciamma, who is an extremely gifted filmmaker. And it takes place, it's a historical period movie. It takes place at the very end of the 18th century. And it is about a young woman named Marianne. And at the very beginning of the film, we see her arrive. Well, actually, we see her on a boat at the beginning of the film. And she is arriving someplace, definitely in the middle of nowhere. And it turns out she is a painter. And actually, at the very, very beginning of the movie, we see her with her painting class. And then we see a flashback to when she went off to this island in the middle of nowhere. And we don't know why she has arrived at this island, why she is on this island, where it appears that very few people actually live. And little by little, we get drawn into her story. She goes to a very, very large and palatial estate on this island, where she meets a young woman named Eloise. And Eloise is going to have her portrait painted. And little by little, this is all the beginning of the movie, we find out what is going on here. Eloise is a young woman who is scheduled to get married to a young man. She does not want to marry this young man who has never met her. Again, this is the end of the 18th century, so things like this can happen. A woman can be affianced to a man she has never met. And he wants to see her portrait. And then he's going to decide for sure whether he will marry her. Well, we assume that's going to go through because she's a gorgeous young woman. But the painter Marianne has been commissioned to come to the island, this almost deserted island, and paint Eloise's portrait. The complication here is that Eloise does not want to have her portrait painted. And in fact, an earlier painter was commissioned to paint this portrait. And she refused to sit for this earlier painter. And therefore, the earlier painting was never completed. But now it is hoped that Marianne can sort of paint her on the sly. Eloise has been told by her mother that Marianne is just there to be a companion for her on her walks as she walks along the beach to amuse herself. But actually, Marianne will be observing her and painting her. Well, ultimately, the secret comes out, and ultimately, Eloise decides that she will agree to have her portrait painted. And then the movie becomes very largely about the painting of this portrait. But, as one might suspect from the beginning, does ultimately happen, Marianne and Eloise fall in love. So this turns out to be a lesbian romance. But it's a very muted and restrained lesbian romance. There's a couple of sex scenes in it, there's a bit of nudity in it, and that sort of thing. But it's very restrained, and it doesn't push too far in that direction. It's not a big erotic drama. It's pretty restrained, and it is, in fact, I would say, not so much even a romance as a genuine love story, because it is very clear that these two, after meeting under these unusual circumstances, the two of them really do fall in love. And it's a very lovely story in that respect. Now, the main thing to know about Portrait of a Lady on Fire is that it is beautifully, beautifully filmed. It's very slowly paced, and some people have complained about the pacing of it, but it just moves along in such an insinuating way and draws you in. And it is full of these gorgeous visuals. Again, it takes place on this island where very few other people live, but we get this sense of the atmosphere of the land, of the sea, of the beach, of the mansion, and all of this in very, very gorgeous ways. And there's some pretty harrowing stuff along the way, too. A secondary character in the movie is a young maid who lives on the premises. She finds herself pregnant. She wants to have an abortion. This is not all that easy to have on an island in the middle of no place near the end of the 18th century. So that's another subplot that enters in and contributes some pretty harrowing moments. Mainly, Portrait of a Lady on Fire is a gorgeous movie to watch, a dramatic movie to watch, a very, very lovely love story, a very, very feminist movie written and directed by Celine Sciamma, and a movie which I really thoroughly recommend. It's a beautiful film, a true art film, in the sense that it's about art and that it shows the art of cinema at pretty close to its best. So I totally recommend it, and of the three films I've talked about today, Portrait of a Lady on Fire is the one that might very well set many of our listeners on fire if they take a chance with it. A really good movie. And that is my somewhat diversified story this week, Jill.
For which we and Brutus thank you. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Premature, Greed, and Portrait of a Lady on Fire.